Hello, everybody here online. I want to welcome you to the Gospel of the Kingdom Conference. I'm going to be ministering first, and then Janet will be ministering on the gospel path. And Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you, Lord. You said righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Father, I decree, Lord Jesus, I decree you are the Lord, our righteousness. And you are the Lord, our judge. And Father, all sin has been judged on the cross of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you, Lord. I even feel led to say that this whole sermon, this whole conference is going to be an altar call to those who want to come to Christ, to the kingdom of God. Father, I partner with the mantle that you've given me, Father, last night, with the prophet Greg Hood, who frequently ministers at Oasis Church. Father, as you've led me to do, I partner with that mantle, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that the government of God reigns.
Amen.
Father God, I pray even for Janet today that, Lord, as she ministers, secondly, that as she ministers, Lord, that you would anoint her lips, that you would even give her revelation as I preach, Father, more revelation, Lord. And Lord, today as we renew the covenant, actually I feel that what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach and then I'll have you preach and then we'll do communion after all of it. But Father, as we renew our covenant today,
thank you, Lord.
You know, today on sundown, Janet has told me earlier that today is a day of preparation. Preparation of the sacrificial lamb and Passover. And so we want to commemorate, Father, we want to celebrate yet again as we did on Easter, the time when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And even for this nation, I believe, for America. And Father, Lord, I just thank you. We are friends of God. Those who fear you, you give secrets to, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So the sermon the first one that I'm going to be ministering on, is this one's called A Friend of God. It's going to be a little bit differently than how you may usually hear it, but. We're going to begin in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, excuse me. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Oh, and I want to stop for a minute. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of something. We're a legislative body, the churches.
Mm-hmm.
So I declare this Congress of God, this legislative body has come to order, and what goes out of here is going to change the trajectory of the church. I declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare in the name of Jesus that we have come to a valley of decision in the church. And Father God says, I have not called the remnant to help change this nation. The Lord says, Behold, did I not say, If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And then I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Thank you, Lord. Father, so the Lord says that this is not just for the remnant. This is for those that are lukewarm. This is for those in the mega churches. This is for everybody. Because the Lord says, all hands on deck. So the next part says, Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Psalms 25, verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you today that originally, even in the Old Covenant, if you look at the next chapter in Exodus, we just read Exodus 19 previously, but if you look at Exodus 20 in the Ten Commandments, you'll see how the children of Israel were afraid of that storm that came from the mountain. But the Lord said, I have called you to myself, and he even back then wanted to speak to each one of the children of Israel individually. He wanted the children of Israel to be a nation of kings and priests.
Amen.
A kingdom of priests. That was always his plan. But the children of Israel, you know, because they did not want to hear the Lord for themselves, then God had to set up a priesthood order to make a similitude of a relationship of with him. And the Lord is setting a plumb line today. And he is going to... Ooh. The Lord just called Janet a prophet in my hearing. He said that this word... That what we're doing today is it's going to send out a word missile. But anyway, Isaiah 66, verses 1 to 4. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne. Oh, did you need to say something? Okay. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. It's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Amos chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Okay, I want to make sure we're good on time. But for me, anyway.
You're good.
Okay. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. And I included this part for context. Verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a certain city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Verse 7, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? As I was preparing this, the Lord reminded me of these verses here. And I want to read them to you. I originally wrote down John 15, verses 1 to 18. But since we have since Janet's going to be ministering after me, I'm going to be mindful of time, and I'm only going to read verses 14 to 15 of John 15. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I made known to you. Now, what the Lord revealed to me was that, you know, if you look back in Genesis, when Abimelech's household was plagued because he almost took Sarai as his wife, and the Lord said, have Abram pray for you because he's a prophet. You notice how in that book, God showed him a lot of things, but he didn't prophesy anything, right?
Right.
And yet he was a prophet. It was because he was a friend of God. So in the New Testament and the New Covenant, we are all, in this respect, we are all prophets. Those of us that choose to be friends of God, you know, you got to get in the secret place, get to know God's heart, God's ways, and fear the Lord. You can't be in compromise. But so there's a price to pay, but those who choose to pay the price to become his friend, you, beloved, will know the secrets of his heart, and you will become his prophet.
Glory.
Now, I want to read to you a quote in John Bevere's book that I read a while back on Killing Kryptonite. And it's on chapter 14 called Sin. It says, many teachers define sin as missing the mark. This is accurate. However, when you consider the basic definition I've just presented, do you think missing the mark adequately describes the serious nature of sin? And then I summarized this definition of sin, and it was, in essence, he was describing sin as missing the true end and scope of our lives, which is God. Missing the true end and scope of our lives, which is God. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
And so, let's see. 1 Kings 16, verses 29 to 34.
First Kings what?
16.
Okay.
Verses 29 to 34. That's the verse, but I'm going to kind of summarize it a little bit just for the sake of time. But this is talking about King Ahab when he ruled in Israel. And he considered it a trivial thing, as the New King James Version says, to follow after the sins of Jeroboam. This means, you know, say it's let's see, what's it? Just any sin, whatever your weakness is. think, well, I can do it once.
Mm-mm.
Or I'm going to use my example. I don't do this anymore, but, well, I can just watch one true crime show. And then before you know it, you're right back into where you started. And you've considered sin trivial. This is why Jesus says, if your eye offends you, in other words, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out.
Mm-hmm.
If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And that is, he's saying, is, in essence, sin is a big deal. All sin is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
And so, let's see. So, I think that'll be it for me. I'm just trying to modify this a little bit. I forgot another thing. Matthew 3, verses 7 to 13. I'm going to read this right quick. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' And I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And then I'm going to summarize these other scriptures. Simon the sorcerer. In the book of Acts, the reason why Simon the sorcerer was rebuked as sharply as he was is because they did not consider sin a trivial thing. He was young in the Lord. He had just come to Christ, and he wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. But yet, and Peter didn't say, "Well, you know, let's just give him some time. He's just young in the Lord." No, Peter said, "Your money, you and your money perish with you." He wanted to deal with the sin. And because of us treating sin as trivial today, I included Matthew 13 about the wheat and tares, we have caused many tares to grow up among us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll end with this. There were two different interviews that I listened to from Sid Roth where they said, Billy Graham, he said, "One thing I regret, I made converts instead of disciples. One thing I regret, I made converts instead of disciples."
That's good.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, I'm gonna go to another segment, and we'll hand it off to Janet. Are we still doing good on time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Father God, we thank you for this teaching, Lord, for the sobering word. Lord, help us to not treat sin as trivial. You know, you told your servant John Bevere that you gave your church a thimbleful of power. And you were testing your church. And now you've sent us to the wilderness because we have failed the test. We have marketed your glory. Father God, forgive us. And we ask that you would forgive us and that you would, that this would be, today would be the beginning of a new day, a new time. And Father, we thank you that today is a day of covenant renewal. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And actually, we're not going to go to another segment. I'm just going to go ahead and hand it off to Janet.
I'm just really thankful. I'm really thankful that I know all of you. I just want to say that, and I've missed you.
I missed you.
That you have not left my prayers. I just want you to know that.
Praise God.
I just want to bless the Lord for all that He's done for all of us. You have no idea what the Lord has done in my family, but I can tell you that it's all good.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm just really thankful. I bless the Lord for all that He's done. Anyway, today the Lord has blessed me to come and minister about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been studying, you know, when we study the gospel, God speaks to us in a different kind of way, much like the Word of God. When we study the Word of God and then go back after a year or so and read the same passage of Scripture and the Word of God, we receive a completely different message from it. Well, it's the same way with the gospel. When you're studying the gospel, God enlightens us to see things that we never saw before. And I've studied the gospel completely 5 different times, and I can tell you that I am still receiving new information. We just cannot stop learning.
Amen.
God is so gracious to us. And we know that everything is good that He gives to us. So I'm just encouraging you and myself to always keep studying, always keep learning and praying and sharing our faith, because it just, no matter how bad the world gets, grace keeps getting better.
Praise
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
So, I'm going to start with Jesus being crucified. I mean, His life started way before that. 33 years, I believe, before that, and a lot happened. He showed us how man is supposed to walk, and Jesus, being God, was also man.
Amen.
So we can see that man can actually walk this walk, and that's so encouraging to me, because I've been in places, I know you all have been in places like, I don't know if I can go on. Not that we want to leave the Lord, but to walk the walk, you know. You get overwhelmed sometimes. Just keep on getting up and keep going, because God is with us. So, and we win. So, anyway, I just also, before I begin, I just want to say that today at, like Caitlin said, at 7:13 tonight is when Israel begins the day of preparation. And their days begin and end at sunset. And I checked yesterday, and it's at 7:13 tonight. The thing is, Israel is 8 hours ahead of Oklahoma. So that would be like around 2:13 today is when they're actually starting their day of preparation.
So it would be our 2:13.
Right. So from sunset today in Israel to sunset tomorrow is their day of preparation. And if you remember, Jesus was crucified. They wanted to hurry up and crucify Him and get Him off the cross and get that all cleared away so they could start the celebration, Passover celebration. not knowing what they were doing, that God orchestrated the whole thing, that Jesus would be crucified on the day of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
The day of preparation is when they sacrifice the animals.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
There he was.
Right.
The
right.
Lamb of God. So I'm excited. This is a very exciting time. I mean, let me get my phone. I just jotted down some dates. So exciting. This next month and a half, 2 months are just exciting. You know, it's wonderful to see that Israel celebrates holy days.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually happened from the old covenant into the new covenant, we see, well, they were doing that, but God had a different plan, but it's on the same day. You know, I just think that is awesome. And my phone's not loading. Well, I'm not going to look it up. I'll just won't give you the dates, but you'll know the holidays, the holy days, and the day of preparation. That's when the sacrifice took place. And then Jesus was prepared for his sacrifice. And it happened. And then, I don't know if I can talk about that. It's just so emotional. And so, I'm just going to say in the next couple months is an important time spiritually for all of us. A lot took place in the Old Testament, and a lot took place in the New Covenant.
Praise
and
God.
It's all lining up right now for our time.
Praise God.
And we know that the Lord's returning very soon. We can see the signs of the times. And things need to take place still and be fulfilled. But I feel in my spirit that it's so close.
Hallelujah.
And I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go home. Okay. Let me just start with Jesus being the sacrifice Lamb of God. And what I'm going to attempt to do, and I pray, Father God, for myself, that you just use me to say what you want me to say.
Praise
and that everyone see, bless our eyes to see what you want us to see.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And hear what you want us to hear. And that our hearts understand and believe. And that you use our mouths to share the message of the Lord with people.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Jesus was sent from heaven to be the sacrifice Lamb of God. When he was on the cross, he became the sin of the world. All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. He was made to be a curse, and he willingly laid down his life. Do you know that Jesus wasn't killed on the cross because no man could take his life?
Right.
He willingly laid down his life. When Jesus laid down his life, the old covenant law given by Moses lost its power and authority.
Amen.
The law of sin and death lost its power and authority. The curse of the law lost its power and authority. You know, Peyton was talking about sin. Sin separates us from God. The curse of the law was the effect of sin. And death is the penalty of sin. And Jesus' sacrifice of his flesh, water, and blood stripped away all of that power and authority. It has no power and authority.
Amen.
And I give glory to God for that. You know, before our Lord Jesus was sacrificed. He was anointed before and after his sacrifice. Lazarus' sister Mary anointed the body of Christ with spikenard. And if you know anything about plants, the plant itself of spikenard means life. The body of Christ was anointed with life before his sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Amen.
We are the body of Christ in
Amen.
The earth. And I want you to know that you are anointed with life.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
The fragrance of spikenard means forgiveness.
Praise the Lord.
The body of Christ was anointed with forgiveness before he became sin on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God took care of it before it even happened.
Praise God.
And we are that body of Christ, anointed with forgiveness.
Hallelujah.
I just want to, you know, in my mind's eye, I kind of jotted this down, so I just want to share it with you. Because when you think of all the curse of the law, everything bad that could happen to mankind has been separated from us.
Praise God.
Forgiven, removed, remitted.
Yes.
And washed away and forgotten.
Hallelujah.
It's just mind-boggling to me that God just took care of it before it even happened. And if we only knew, we could have just said, I've got Jesus, flesh, water, and blood of the Lamb. I've got the victory right here.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. And it'd have to leave because it has no power and authority over
us.
That's
right. That's right.
Jesus, when he said, take up my cross and follow me, he was saying, take up my victory. My victory has become your victory.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is our salvation. Jesus has become our salvation.
Praise God.
And we just have to know it. If the world only knew.
Hallelujah.
If the world only knew.
Yeah.
And we're just beginning to even, I've been studying for 40 years. And I feel like I'm just getting ready to tap into
some deep water.
Something so great.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Jesus was anointed before his sacrifice. And we are too. And after his sacrifice, after his blood poured out on the cross, Nicodemus took his body and anointed his body before the burial and wrapped him in clean cloth. Nicodemus anointed the body of Christ with myrrh, which was only used for kings and priests.
Yeah, praise God.
To the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Because we are that body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And with myrrh, we are anointed with myrrh because we're the body of Christ. We're anointed with aloe that heals. And just the remembrance of Jesus' flesh, water, and blood sacrificed on the cross, his anointed burial, and his third day resurrection brings healing.
Hallelujah.
And speaking of it, flows out healing to those who hear.
Praise God.
We are so anointed that we're just learning to step into our anointing and to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure my grandpa knew how to use it, but I didn't. You know, it wasn't my time, I guess, because it's always in the Lord's timing.
Yeah.
So the body of Christ was anointed and laid in a new tomb that no man had ever been laid. And for years, I thought he was talking about the tomb. He wasn't talking about the tomb. He was talking about no man had been anointed for that. But we are the first men and women, children of God. We're anointed to rest in the new tomb. This is the rest of the Lord to enter into.
Praise God.
Enter into the anointed rest of forgiveness, of the tender mercies of God, where all sin and the curse and death and evil, darkness, works of darkness, the angels of darkness, liars, thieves, killers, destroyers, devourers, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the Antichrist, the beast and his mark, they're separated from us because of the anointing.
Absolutely.
They have no power and authority over us.
Amen. Amen.
Because of the anointing.
Hallelujah.
May I interject something real quick?
Pardon me?
I said, may I interject something real quick?
Yes, you may.
As we were worshiping, and even as you're speaking, I in my mind's eye, the Lord just gives me a vision of the blood of the Lamb just pled over this podcast and over the sigil.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, well, you know, when Jesus was, our Lord Jesus was entered into that rest, knowing that his sacrifice had already had, the scripture says, disarmed, spoiled, and triumphed over everything.
Right.
And made a public show of them openly by his cross. Jesus on the cross was showing his victory over everything. You know, I think this is really interesting. Where Jesus was crucified outside of Jerusalem is called Calvary. It's also called Golgotha or Golgotha. But it's also called the place of the skull.
Yeah.
This is where David cut off Goliath's head and stuck Goliath's head on a pole outside of Jerusalem. It is called Golgotha. It stands for Goliath of Gath. But it's also called the place of the skull. And David did that so that everyone that was coming in and going out of Jerusalem would see that God had victory over his enemies. And that's what Jesus, flesh, water, and blood, does for us.
Hallelujah.
So take up your cross, take up your victory, and follow the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I will do the same. And I can tell you, in the last month, I have been swarmed with critters. I live next to a big field, couldn't get rid of them, but I started using my faith in Jesus, flesh, water, and blood of the Lamb on the cross, and they left.
Praise the Lord.
Those cicadas, I heard those one night, and I was standing up thanking the Lord for the power of his cross.
What were they?
The cicadas that, oh gosh. They're just terrible noisemakers.
Crickets?
No, you'll have to look it up.
I say they're worse than crickets.
Yeah, they are, and they're bugs that live in, they live under the ground. They come up in the spring and they make noise.
Like a locust?
Yeah. And so when they left, I thought, okay, I'm not dealing with this. Okay, well, Jesus knew he had the victory, and he rested. Anointed rest. And just like he heard, the Father said that he would have the power to take his life back again. He heard that. He believed that. He testified that. He prayed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened.
Absolutely.
Jesus rose from the dead. He took captivity captive and set the captives free. He took care of all the enemies of God, and he healed and set the captives free. Jesus, I really believe that when Jesus, those 3 days, was resting, he was thinking about his blood of the new covenant. He was thinking about his blood, how his blood had purchased mercy for us all. How he purchased God's grace, the riches of God's glory, of his grace for
thank
us.
You, Jesus.
That we would have divine favor, that we would have great pleasure in the presence of God. I'm thinking that he rested knowing that all of the children of God would start talking about his sacrifice and his resurrection and all that God had done for us, and how much glory he would receive from our testimony, so he could manifest his glory.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
And that his signs and his wonders and his miracles could be manifest for us on our behalf.
God.
And
thank
not
you,
only
Lord.
Ours, but our children and grandchildren, and for future generations, and over our country, over Israel and Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
All we have to do is use our faith, our testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, in the Old Covenant, how the sacrifice was made outside the camp, that's what happened with Jesus. He was outside of Jerusalem when his sacrifice took place. But then in the Old Covenant, the priests would take the blood of the sacrifice into the most holy place to present it.
Mm-hmm.
And the most interesting thing that I never got for years, I guess it was probably 2 or 3 years ago that I got this, and it just hit me. Like, oh my goodness, why didn't I see this? However the sacrifice was presented, and however the priest took it in to the holy place, that's how God saw the priest. And that's how God saw Israel for a whole year. It didn't have anything to do with Israel. It had everything to do with the sacrifice and the high priest.
Right.
And Israel got the benefits of that, you know.
Praise God.
Well, when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended, he ascended back to our Father God to enter into his glory. He took his blood into heaven, into
right.
And placed his blood on the mercy seat. And I was reading, and it said that at that point is when Jesus established the new covenant and secured it for all eternity. The scriptures that talk about the new covenant, the words of description I got was mercy. The blood of the new covenant of mercy, of grace, of the word of truth, of the gospel of salvation, and of life. Jesus took his blood with the Holy Ghost, the promise of inheritance of the Holy Ghost. They go together. The blood of the new covenant with the promise of inheritance of the Holy Ghost. There together. He took his blood and the Holy Ghost into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, and presented himself as our righteous high priest without sin. That's why God sees us as the righteousness of God without sin, because of the blood of the new covenant and because of the Holy Ghost and Jesus presentation. It doesn't have anything to do with us. It has everything to do with our believing that Jesus did this for us.
Right.
And believing it and talking to God about it, our faith in his sacrifice or his blood of the new mm-hmm. covenant and his presentation changes us. It changes. I remember the first time I shared anything about this, I knew that God did something in me different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. God changed me at that moment.
Hallelujah.
Not knowing exactly what all he was changing.
Right.
But I knew something was different.
Hallelujah.
And God accepted and approved and was well pleased with Jesus' presentation. And we, as believers, we're hearing, we're believing, we're praying about our faith, we're talking about our faith. God accepts that, and he approves of that, and he's very well pleased with that.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Although we haven't really done anything except
believe.
And we get the benefits of that. So I'm almost done. I know I've probably spoken too long, but all of that took place the day that Jesus rose from the dead. He left and went to heaven and did all of that.
Praise God.
It's all sealed. It's all eternally secured. And that day, that evening, he came back, and for the next 40 days, he appeared to his disciples. He came back to fully explain. The scripture says, uses the word expound, that he came back to fully explain the gospel. Much takes place in the gospel.
Right.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
And as he explained the gospel, you know what happened? Jesus manifested his glory.
Praise God.
And the signs, the wonders, and the miracles all follow the glory of God.
Amen.
And in the Word of God, it says that there were so many miracles that took place those 40 days that if they were all recorded, the world wouldn't be big enough to contain those books. That's a whole lot of miracles. And on the 40th day, the angels of the Lord and the disciples of the Lord saw the Lord being caught up in the clouds of glory.
Hallelujah.
And 10 days later, the Holy Ghost was sent out, poured out upon the believers. Like I said, I know that the Lord's, I just really believe the Lord's coming back really soon. But there is something that needs to take place. Probably more things than I realize. But I do know that the Holy Ghost has to be poured out upon all flesh and all of our sons and daughters, all of our family, everyone here in the earth has got to be testifying and prophesying about our Lord Jesus Christ. I can imagine what things are going to be like when everyone's preaching the gospel and all the signs, wonders, and miracles that take place and how much glory floods this earth. That's what I'm looking forward to. Other than leaving this world and going home to be with the Lord, because I will see the Lord coming in the clouds of glory.
Praise
and he's
God.
Gonna say, come up here and I'll be out of here. I love you all. God bless you.
Thank you,
Jesus' name.
Praise the
prayer. I'm sorry.
Yes. You're going to do that before or after communion? We got communion.
Well, I'm going to do it before.
Okay,
and then
go ahead.
And then, because I'm going to record the communion segment, but I just felt from the Lord to do that. Father, I just thank you, Lord. You told me a while back that you're preparing us for the day of Pentecost. So, Lord, this word has prepared us. It's a seed sown into our hearts that has prepared us to be able to do or to receive the fullness of the fire that you have prophesied that you're going to bring, Father. In Jesus' name. I also felt led from the Lord to say, to proclaim a fast today, that we need to, this is a season of fasting and prayer, just as the Lord leads us to prepare. So, for those online, we'll be right back to do communion. Hello, everyone. I want to quickly do a communion segment. Well, not quickly, but... And because today is a covenant renewal. As you heard from both me and Janet, today is a day, it's already happened. By the time that you have listened to this podcast, if you're in Oklahoma, this day of preparation has already, well, even if you're in Israel, this day of preparation has already begun. And I want to invite you, first the Jew, then the Jew, first the Jew, then the Gentile. I want to invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to come into the kingdom of God. As Jesus says, Jews are sons of the kingdom. Anyway, I want to invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'll just say it that way. And I want, in Matthew, I think it's chapter 26, Jesus says a statement about the blood. He says, "This is the blood of the new covenant, or no, this is the new covenant in my blood." And originally, when I intended to do communion, lead communion and stuff like that, what I wanted to do was somewhat apply the old covenant principle, but in a new covenant way. And so, I just want to say a prayer. And of course, first of all, so I want you to get your elements ready, if you haven't already. And Lord, and pause this podcast and get your elements ready. Your cracker or bread, whatever represents the body. And then your grape juice or water, whatever you have that represents the blood, which I did find out in the Bible that the wine is the blood of the grapes, as they say. So it's a new insight to me. But whatever it is that you have that represents the body and blood of Christ, go ahead and take that in your hand. First of all, I want us to appropriate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood, actually, I feel from the Spirit. We're gonna pray over the elements, and then we're going to eat, partake, eat, I'll be all right. This is actually how Pastor Judy, when she prayed over the communion today, this is how she did it. She did the blood first, then the body. So, Father, I thank you. We come to the cross, Lord. We thank you for the sermon that you led me to preach and the sermon that you led Janet, Sister Janet, to minister. I thank you for the prophetic utterance that you gave her. You told me that she was a prophet. And I believe that it's prophetic and that it's a prophetic... I'll just leave it at that. I'm sensing right now by you, Holy Spirit, that you're saying that the church is going to learn more about what she has proclaimed here today. The victory of it all. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the body, for the blood of Christ. There are seven places, if you want to be theologically accurate, there's eight places because Jesus was circumcised. I can't remember the meaning of all of the eighth. But that Jesus' blood was shed. I think it has something to do with like sexual purity or something like that for the circumcision. Anyway, so Lord, we appropriate all eight places which the blood of Christ was shed. The Garden of Gethsemane. Father, we thank you that you wiped away shame, Lord. And, I can't remember all of them. But in Matthew 8, it records that as Jesus was casting out demons and healing the sick, he was fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah 53. He himself bore our sins and our transgressions, and however that it's in Isaiah 53. Father, I thank you. I'm just going by memory. I thank you for this, Lord. And Father, right now, we together, we renew our covenant with Christ. Unlike the old covenant, the new covenant is a much better covenant, and it is something we don't have to attempt to fulfill on our own. In fact, you already won the victory for us through the cross of Christ, as you showed Janet, led her to minister today, about carrying the victory around. And so, Father, as we collectively partake of the blood, and as we collectively partake of the blood today in communion, Lord, may the vision that you fulfilled and that you showed me be fulfilled in the people's homes, Lord. And even as this podcast goes out over the airways, Lord, may it jump through hurdles because of what you did on the cross, Lord. No demon in hell will be able to stop the word of God from going forward. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you. First of all, I thank you for the Old Testament dress rehearsal, so to speak, of the Passover lamb. And now, and it was supposed to be sacrificed like the entrails and things like that. And Lord, there's intricacies as to what each thing represents, Lord. So Father, as we partake of the body, first of all, I ask that I forgot to do this, but Lord, any sin, oh, never mind. Holy Spirit said it's taken care of. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, I thank you richly, Father, that as we partake of the body, healing will flow. What the sins, you know, like you led Janet to preach today or teach today, we are anointed with forgiveness. So Lord, we thank you that our sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. I thank you for the balm of Gilead being sent across the airways today as you showed me, Father, to heal your people.
to set free. Father God, I just declare and decree the end of the mental health epidemic in America. I declare it by the authority of Jesus Christ, I think, and by the blood of the Lamb. And by faith in the new covenant victory that we have, Father, in Jesus' name. Baptize us in your fire. And may the fullness of that song, "You are the true Almighty God," that you showed Nikos Politis, I think is how you say it, that in Thessalonica, may the fullness of what was supposed to be done as that song went forth, Father, may it go forth in your people's homes and in their lives, Lord. May deliverance and cleansing go forth in the church, Father God. May the fullness of what Jesus Christ died for him, for us to receive, Father, may that be realized in our lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so thank you all very much for listening to this podcast, and I want to invite you to subscribe or follow this podcast or YouTube or Rumble video, and hit the notification bell if you're on YouTube. Hit the notification, or be sure that notifications are enabled and on Spotify and other platforms that may have you do that. If you would like, you can comment below this podcast or video, and share this out to your friends and family and loved ones, just those that you think need to hear it. And also, you can go to www.kingdomadvance, kingdomadvance.family.blog. Go to the primary menu and then hit About Us. That will have all the information concerning our ministry and ways to contact us, except for that phone number that's on there. Pastor Judy has asked me to not only minister on my usual Tuesday nights, but I will also be ministering next Sunday as well. I want to invite you to, like I said, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and you will be notified when we do all our regular, and when we do our videos. And I may come on here before Tuesday. I don't know what the Lord has planned. But thank you all very much. And God bless. And sorry for the background noise.